This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit Pronamel.com.
Ready? Okay. Give me a beach.
Beach!
Give me great food.
Tacos!
Give me adventure.
Hiking!
Give me a date night.
Sunset cruise!
Give me some smiles.
Cheese!
Give me more beaches.
Beaches!
What's that spell?
San Diego!
If you're happy and you know it, San Diego is the place to show it. Book your trip at sandiego.org. Funded in part with the City of San Diego Tourism Marketing District Assessment Funds.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hello and welcome to Savor, a production of iHeartRadio. I'm Annie Reese.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum. And today we have another episode of Listener Mail.
Yes, the 17th.
The 17th?
I'm pretty sure.
Goodness. That's wild.
I know. And it feels very dramatic for a reason that I can't put my finger on. Maybe it's the possibility of puns that I have.
Sure.
Because it's storming record this.
Uh-huh.
But this is very, like, in my head, the line from Rise of Skywalker.
Okay.
The dead speak.
That's
the vibe I'm entering this.
All right.
With.
Okay, good. Thank you, DM, for that vibe check.
Yes. Which we will be talking about our recent D&D adventures at the end.
Yes.
But as you know, we love these. We love hearing from you. We love how you interact with each other.
Yes.
So good. And we have received a lot of mail recently, especially about currywurst, which is excellent.
Yeah.
So good. But yeah, I'm going to toss this first one to you, Lauren.
Okay. All right. Cool. All right. So John wrote, I've fallen behind and I just listened to the matzah episode is squared away. And I wanted to share a couple things with you both. First, while I'm not Jewish, I was raised Unitarian, my ex-wife, like Lauren, is culturally Jewish, and we would often visit her more devout relatives for the holidays, including Passover. On one such visit, I did the thing you're not supposed to do. I ate something from the sideboard of goodies her cousin had laid out because I was hungry and Seder was not due to start for some time, and I figured these are sitting here, they must be appetizers. The kids around me looking shocked should have been my warning, but I did it anyway, and the look I got from her cousin implied I had committed a sin worthy of eternal punishment. Just the sort of thing I imagine Annie was afraid of doing when she went to Seder. Second, I too like making matzo ball soup from scratch, but as the matzo meal is kind of pricey, I simply take any broken crackers from a box and toss them in my food processor to create what I called not-so meal, which I use to make my matzo ball soup. It is virtually identical in taste, though perhaps a bit denser in texture, to ones made using matzo meal, and I make it out of what would otherwise be unusable crumbs. I do like to experiment with it a bit, adding dried spices to the mix and using Japanese toasted sesame oil instead of vegetable oil to add more flavor to the balls. I've even used fresh garlic and Chinese hot oil for matzo balls with a real kick. I feel that I should mention that I don't add cheese crackers to my matzo meal because I save those crumbs for topping my mac and cheese.
Oh. That all sounds so good.
Oh, my goodness, right?
Yes. I still haven't had any, but these variations of like Chinese hot oil. Oh, my gosh.
I'm really falling down on my responsibility as a culturally Jewish person.
I wouldn't say that, but I do want this.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's still in the works. Still in the works. A couple comments about this. Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, make do with whatever you have. It's great to, reduce food waste and make something delicious and creative while you're at it. Playing with different like oils with a little bit of a stronger flavor than, just vegetable oil is great. I personally like a really strong olive oil in mine sometimes because it just, it adds more. It kind of plays with the dill that I put in, and that's fun. Also, there is a restaurant here in Atlanta called Little Bear that has a whole menu. Like, it started as like a Christmas pop-up shtick, but it's just become sort of their permanent shtick. It's like Jewish Chinese dinners. So it's a lot of stuff like matzo balls with a hot Szechuan oil or something like that.
Ooh.
And they do really great stuff. I totally recommend checking them out. And also, right, this sounds exactly like that same alleyway. And I want to live there. So
yes, it sounds so good. And yes, to using the crumbs to top your mac and cheese.
Oh, right.
Your cheese crackers. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also, yeah, what you described is exactly the fear that I had when I went to see her. That's why I just sat there and observed very sharply what was going on. Didn't do anything until someone else told me to do it.
On the plus side, Jewish people generally don't believe in eternal punishment, so you're okay there.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's nice to know. Okay. I like that. All right. Well, Christine sent us a couple of messages. Here's the first. I was listening to older episodes again and heard the one about the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Being a lifelong nerd, it's a favorite of mine as well. I also discovered Douglas Adams in high school. In fact, in a drama assessment where we had to do a monologue, I recited the thoughts of the missile-turned whale as it plummeted to the surface of Magrathia. And this got me thinking. Have you done a series looking at the food of Terry Pratchett's Discworld? There is a lot of fantastic food in the series, from dried frog pills as antidepressants, hallucinogens, chocolate-coated coffee beans as offensive weapons, Commander Vime's four food groups, sugar, salt, starch, and burnt fried crunchy bits, dwarves, battle bread, and rat-based delicacies, and so many things. There's even an official Discworld cookbook based on the recipes of Lankra, which Nanny Ogg. We have not done Discworld, but I will say several people have written about it.
Oh, yeah? I actually, this is one of my like nerd failings. I have not read any Discworld books ever.
Oh.
I know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here we go.
Apparently now is the time. We have received the call. I mean, I love Terry Pratchett. I like as a general human person. I really enjoyed reading Good Omens. The series has been so cute on TV. But
the trailer came out.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, I am too excited about it. Too excited. But yeah. Okay. All right. Done. Cool.
Done. Doesn't take much, honestly.
Yeah.
To convince us.
Like, oh no, you have to read something you're going to enjoy and then talk about the food in it. Like, what?
Yeah. I had a friend in college who Discworld was like one of her pillars. She loved it and she talked to me about it all the time. I haven't read all of it, but I've read a lot of it. And actually, we get requests to talk about it on Stuff I Never Told You on Spencer.
Oh, yeah. Huh.
Yeah. But I don't remember the food at all. So this is a really interesting I would be very interested to research it.
Cool. Sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there you go.
There you go.
Christine then followed up with, I'm writing this in the ad breaks of Australian MasterChef. They're working with whole fish, so I'm paying close attention. Earlier this evening, though, I listened to your episode about airline food, which was definitely recorded pre-pandemic. This immediately brought to mind two of my most sublime food experiences. Yes, two sublime food experiences from airline food in economy class within a week of each other. In 1999, I was fortunate enough to go on a Girl Guide event in Switzerland. I have no memory of what we ate on the journeys between Sydney and London and back, so it was probably typical airline food. I do remember spraying tea all over my tray table and choking on breakfast at some point because I was watching Red Dwarf. It was the last day from season 3. The flights from London to Zurich and back, though, I still sigh. On the trip to Zurich, we were served portions of Scottish oak-smoked trout with a zesty micro-herb salad and oat bread. The trout was beautifully sweet and rich, but with a slightly tangy taste from the smoking. We mostly have rainbow or ocean trout in Australia, which has a less sweet taste and tougher meat. But still delicious, but I would love to find somewhere that I could get brown trout at prices where I'm not eating instant noodles for the rest of the week. As it happened, no one else in the Girl Guide party liked fish, so I was able to eat 5 portions. Heaven. Then, on the leg back to London from Zurich, we were served a selection of Italian cured meats and cheeses. It was my first taste of, oh, heck, okay, I'm just going to try to do this phonetically. I'm so sorry if I butcher it. Bresaola and dolce latte, the only blue cheese I like to eat, and I was able to eat pig products then. So comparing Sardinian salsiccia, to Milanese salami was bliss. Without the awful after effects I would suffer now. And once again, my travel companions didn't like much of what was on offer. So once again, I got to stuff my happy little face with wonderful food. People still don't believe me when I tell them I scored 2 such wonderful meals on airlines. I suppose Europeans demand better. Oh, wow.
Those sound amazing. Like, that sounds better than a lot of meals I just have at restaurants.
Right? Yes. Yeah, that sounds really good.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Like, this fish, Scottish oak smoked trout with a zesty microherb salad.
Right?
Wow.
I mean, cool. I mean, heck yeah. God, I do love a trout. So tasty. Mm.
I do too. Mm. And I feel like I talked about it in that episode and we discussed it in some of our travel episodes, but I think specific airlines, and especially like if you're going somewhere far away or like touristy, they do really go above and beyond because they want you to kind of talk up this, like, here's why you should make this journey.
Yeah. Yeah. And right. I have limited experience with it, but for sure, if you're going internationally, they're like, hey, A, it's a long flight, so we want to keep you happy, and B, it's a long flight, so we want to keep you happy.
Right. Right. And I talked about my trip to Australia. I was shocked by all of the things they gave me on the plane. It was so good.
Aww.
Oh, gosh. And then we had a really good, our trip to Hawaii, we had a really good experience with that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like a lot of times airlines try to, it's almost like touristy of, this is what we have to offer in this country. Like, come in.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, so it is fascinating. I've had things on airplanes that I've never had. Like Romanesco cauliflower.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I've never had it on the on the ground level, but on a plane I have had it.
So Annie, I sent you this text message, but I wanted to update everyone else. If y'all remember our asparagus episode, we talked about white asparagus and all of these like kind of reviews from literature and human people saying how amazing white asparagus is, and both of us were like, we've literally never seen that, let alone had a chance to eat it. I had a chance to eat it at my birthday meal. It was so good. It was just lovely and delicate. And Oh, I've had some very, very, very good, like, fresh asparagus this asparagus season. I'm really liking it.
Oh, gosh, I'm jealous. Yeah. You sent that picture and I was like, where can I go? What must I do? Meanwhile, I have one more serving of Taylor Ham left. No. Listeners.
All right.
So this is your final chance. It's been delicious. I added hot sauce to it yesterday, and you can yell at me if you want. But I love hot sauce, and I add it to everything. So I just was like, maybe a little, but it's, yeah. It's
been really good. Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right.
We're slowly working through our list of foods we have to try very, very slowly.
Very slowly.
Yes. And then Emily wrote, the subject line was like, checking in with green bean. No, it was green bean as an adult now or something like that. If you don't remember, we read in a past, I believe it was a listener mail episode, but green bean is a frog that Emily and I believe her daughter was taking care of. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He had a crown. Uh-huh. Yes, very cute. So that was the subject line. And immediately I'm like, oh, I've got to read this. And then within, Emily wrote, as I lay in bed listening to my comfort podcast, of course, you guys, I had a thought. I'm not sure if there's enough material out there for a whole episode, but could there be something to be done with the subject of safe foods? If you're not familiar, it's a common thing with autistics like myself or other neurodivergents with sensory sensitivities that we have certain foods that we can eat when other foods are simply not possible to consume. It sounds simple, but it actually can be a huge deal, as eating can be a really difficult thing to do for us. There can be some stigma attached because most safe foods are unhealthy, prepackaged foods like chicken tenders, Pop-Tarts, or tater tots. More understanding about why ND folks, neurodivergent folks, can be so seemingly picky can really help to relieve some pressure around the subject, especially with kids. They're not being difficult. They really want to eat, but it's so much more complicated for us. Or maybe not. Either way, I enjoy having a reason to write in, especially about something dear to my heart. And attaches a picture of
green bean. Yes. Looking very regal and slightly confused, but regal nonetheless.
Yeah. Like, perfectly posed, I have to say, green bean.
Oh, absolutely. And, like, this is a look that my cat...
Knows his camera angle.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. He's giving us a good, like, three-quarter profile, which I'm appreciating. But also, this is totally a look that my cat gives me, where I'm like, oh, man, like, you look heckin' majestic right now. And also, I can tell your two brain cells are really working overtime just to process reality.
Like, yeah. Yeah. That's definitely the same vibe I'm getting. Mm-hmm. I love it. Mm-hmm. And I think this would be a great topic. I don't think I'd ever heard of this specifically.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Like, in these terms, but I, like, when I read it, I was like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. I don't think I've ever heard it in direct terms.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I have some friends who are parents of people with sensory issues like this, or some friends who have sensory issues like this themselves. And absolutely, it can be it's so frustrating to run into stigma against it because it's like and let people eat what they like it's
right,
you know. Mm-hmm. Don't make it an unpleasant experience. That's not the point of food.
No. And chicken nuggets are amazing.
Right.
None of my business. Like, I have some in my fridge right now. So I'm into it. I think that's a great idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Josh wrote, hi, I've listened to a few episodes recently where you wondered if there was a superhero with eating powers. And there are a few I can think of, but my favorite is a comic book called Eat Man, who can form any inorganic object from his body by consuming a portion of it. It's a fun read. Okay, thanks. Bye.
This sounds fascinating.
This sounds real weird.
It does.
Thank you. That's yes. Great.
It is. I want to check it out. It does sound very strange, but I think That's right up our alley. So, yes. Well, we do have some more listener mail for you.
We do. But first, we've got a quick break for a word from our sponsors. This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressing, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico. We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks, but I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts? Time ends. Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you.
And I have to say, I had a plan and it kind of backfired on me.
Okay.
Because I am usually the one that compiles these.
Uh-huh.
And
thank you.
Well, of course. But sometimes I try to make sure Lauren reads a certain one that I think is going to be difficult. So I don't have to read it. And I figure that's kind of my toll for putting it together.
Yeah, it is. Okay, so did you not intend to give yourself this one?
I did not.
Do you want me to do it?
Yes. Yes. You're the best.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, all right. So what happened is that Jared sent us in a song that he thought we might appreciate. It's a song by the band King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, called Big Fig Wasp. The song is called Big Fig Wasp. If y'all aren't familiar with King Gizzard, it's actually a favorite among a lot of the production team here at iHeart. So like, I know that I'm pretty sure producer Andrew has gone and seen these folks any number of times. And right. So it's as they tend to be, it's like a sort of like fun, trippy song about fig wasps. And I can't really, like, without like a lot of guitar involved, I can't really like imitate the vocal structure.
Right.
but all right, just to give y'all the vibe. Any wasp I see, it's a fig wasp. Pearly guillotine, it's a fig wasp. When the harvest's clean, it's a fig wasp. It's a winged machine, it's a fig wasp. Does your God know insects grow in my palm? Big fig wasp. Big fig wasp. Ficin eating corpses. There's a hornet in my throat. Big fig wasp. Big fig wasp. It goes on for quite a bit, but I'm not going to... That's That's what you get. You're going to have to, if you're intrigued, you're going to have to go listen to the song.
Yeah. And I'm going to guess a lot of you are intrigued because you're listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, definitely go check it out. But as we've said, we're big fans of the Fig Wasp.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
One of the first things we talked about when we talked about doing this show. So it's only fitting to me that it does have a whole song dedicated.
Oh, absolutely. Right? And yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. What a fun song it is. So go.
Yes.
Check that out.
Yes. Definitely do. And we do love food-based song, poetry, art, you know. So
oh,
always
yeah.
send that our way.
Oh, clearly. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Are you good to go back into the normal? Do you want to do this next one?
Okay. Yeah. This brings us to all of the currywurst thoughts. So many people wrote in about currywurst, mm-hmm. which is great. I love when we find a dish that just hits.
It resonates to people, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was one. So Vincenzo wrote, I haven't even finished the episode yet, but I knew I had to get currywurst tonight. So I did a quick Google and found York Brewing Company in St. Paul. I hope it's pronounced with that kind of lilting question.
Question mark?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Anyway, continued. It's not the crispiest brat, but a good one and a nice hot and tangy sauce. Currywurst was a small running part of the pandemic, oddly, since a friend of mine ran a weekly happy hour and a running theme was talking about currywurst, and eventually many members of the group made it.
Hmm.
This episode may cause me to make the sauce again and keep it ready because this is Minnesota and the default sausage when we grill is a brat, not a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, yes. But second of all, I love that this is like a happy hour, a currywurst happy hour.
Minnesota, man. That
it's spectacular. It is so great. I love it. Wow.
I have some friends from this general area, and I love picking their brains about all of their food experiences because there's just and you know, they're also curious about stuff that we have in the South that they don't get up there, but it's always fun.
Yeah, that I love that so much. I feel like all of my happy hours during the pandemic were just like whatever I have in the fridge. I like that you had a themed happy hour.
Oh man, I still haven't gotten currywurst. Okay.
I know. I looked and I haven't found any yet.
Okay. Well, okay. To continue the cravings, Hannah wrote, your recent episode gave me a big craving for currywurst. They're easy enough to come by here in Hamburg, Germany. But since I need a vegan version, I thought I'd have to either go to the city center on the weekend or make my own. To my surprise, though, I was able to find a packaged vegan currywurst at my local discount supermarket. It was quite tasty, and now I'm wondering if it's dangerous that I know I can get one so close by.
Mm. This is the difference. It shows how popular it is in Germany.
Right.
Like, I can't find it at restaurants on a quick search. I haven't done a deep dive, but I couldn't find it. And then it's definitely not in stores, but you found a vegan version.
Right? At your local discount supermarket.
Yes.
So cool.
Yes.
Super producer Andrew did give us the tip that sometimes at Halfway Crooks, a brewery here in Atlanta, they do have that as a special sometimes. So they're also an excellent brewery. It's a good reason to go there.
Yeah, it's true. I'm jealous of your currywurst options, but I am very happy that it tasted like you found a good vegan one that tasted really, really nice.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then Sheldon wrote, almost 10 years ago, a granddaughter was born in Germany. My wife and I took a trip there for 6 weeks to help out the new parents. We stayed in the city of Göttingen, I didn't butcher that, and we're pretty much right in the center of town. On our first day tour of the city, my daughter-in-law told me to try some currywurst. We went to this small place that had a bunch of tall tables in front where you would stand while you eat. It was an instant hit with me. Within a few days, I had tried currywurst from every place in the city. Then the quest began. I'm an avid cyclist. Several times a week, I would venture out to visit nearby towns. I think I covered every town within a 50-kilometer radius, including Einbeck, the home of Bock beer. In every town, I would try to find somewhere to get currywurst. Unfortunately, most of the towns were quite small without much there, but I did find some. But there is more. Most weekends, the whole family would take a train to interesting cities to walk around and try their currywurst. My wife and I took a two-day trip to Berlin, and oddly enough, I was disappointed with the currywurst I had there. I'm certain that it's because we didn't have time to seek out the best ones and just got it from the street vendors in touristy areas. The street vendors had an interesting contraption which let them walk around with their stove. When it was time to leave, it was hard for me to think of going without my currywurst. Aww. I purchased some store-bought curry sauce. Although the container was gone before long, I kept the empty container in my memories museum. I did find that making my own was much better than the bottled stuff. Thanks for bringing back the memories.
Oh.
That's amazing.
That is amazing. Oh, my heck.
I love that you went on a quest. You're like, this
right?
is it.
You're
I've
like, nope.
Currywurst.
All right. It's time. It's time.
Check it out in all these places. And some pictures were attached. The contraption for the street vendors was quite interesting.
Yeah.
I was trying to remember if that's what I encountered in Berlin, but I'm sure I saw it, but I think I had it in restaurants, like sit-down restaurants. But yeah, it is quite popular. And I love that you went out of your way to try all that you could.
Yeah. No, I mean, once you find something that you latch onto like that, you're like, okay, and now I can get it everywhere? Great. Like, okay. Oh, heck.
Yes.
all right. Well, we do have more about currywurst to relate to you. But first, we've got one more quick break for a word from our sponsors.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico. We've talked in a bunch of different episodes about facets of Puerto Rican cuisine, like the dish mofongo, made of savory, deep-fried mashed plantains studded with some kind of tasty protein, and the creation of the cool, creamy piña colada. But there is so much more there. I've actually never been. You have a tiny bit of experience, don't you?
Yes. Unfortunately, it was a very tiny bit of experience. I was there for about a day. I'm kicking myself for that now. I remember having delicious rums, delicious drinks. But I want to go back because, yeah, so many episodes we do on here, when we're talking about food from Puerto Rico, I want that.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds amazing. We're trying to get a savor team trip
together. Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, we're trying to get a trip to a lot of places, but this is really top of the list. Even putting together this ad read made me hungry. I was like, oh, I want to try those things. Yeah, as we've talked about before, there are influences there from African and Spanish and native Taino foodways. The culinary scene sounds amazing, and we want to go, and I'm hungry. No passport too. Is required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. You can learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a Gaginianaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
And we're back. Thank you, sponsor.
Yes, thank you. Okay, so Arik wrote about currywurst. One of those things I've always wanted to try. If I ever see it around here, I will need to give it a shot. Heard so many good things about it. I really want to try it in Germany if I can. Now, we have to get Annie this mac and cheese jumpsuit to model for us. That would be so much fun to see. Wear that on a night out with friends and raise all kinds of fun. Like Lauren, the whole Stouffer's French bread pizza thing in college is such a reminder. Could generally find a way to wedge in two boxes into that small freezer space when you get them out of the box. If you really wanted to splurge, you got a couple of friends together and bought Stouffer's lasagna and a case of Natty Light. Sugar sculptures are really interesting. I've seen some great ones in Christmas displays and on cruise ships. The amount of effort just amazes me. I always love to see what people can come up with. Some of it is so intricate. As always, love the show and look forward to it. I still hope there will be a live show one day. I don't care if it goes into tangents and off into the woods. It will be an enjoyable show from you. I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I mean, it would definitely go go places.
Yeah. 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 That's fun, right? You know, yeah. Like you just get the ad break where we actually chat through the ad break about random stuff.
We do. Yeah. Completely random. Tangents. Like, not even the tangents you hear in the show.
No. Randomer. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I do love, like, looking back at college memories and what you did and what was the kind of special.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Special thing. Mm-hmm. I loved that so much. But I had, I don't know if it was Stouffer's lasagna, but I had a friend and that was like her nice thing she would bring was like this refrigerated, like freezer lasagna. And it did feel very nice. It was like,
a whole lasagna for
yes.
us?
Yes.
What?
Yes, I have a lot of good memories attached to it.
I'm happy to report that I finally did buy a frozen lasagna. It's not from it's not from Stouffer's brand. But it is I'm going to eat it today and I'm so excited.
Ooh, I'm excited for you.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes. I recently had to get groceries delivered because I've busy times.
Oh, sure. Chaos. Yeah.
Yeah. And I ordered kind of an embarrassing. I had to calculate because I've already broken my freezer once. and I had to calculate. But I ordered a lot of Stouffer's. And the person who delivered it was like, everything okay here? I'm good. I don't have time to explain to you that we have this strange job and now I want Stouffer's.
And now I'm craving Stouffer's, so I bought a lot of Stouffer's. Because I deserve Stouffer's, okay?
Yeah. Still not a sponsor.
Still not a sponsor. Nope.
But the cravings does hit. After we do these episodes, a lot of times I'm like, ooh. Yeah. We got to get that.
And when you can get one, when it's not something that's like a specialty in another country across an ocean, you're just like, okay, yeah, no, I'm going to get a Stouffer's. Great.
Right. Yeah. Oh, look at all these flavors. I'll try a lot of them. Yes. And then Arik later followed up with a kind of meme and said, stumbled across this and you were the first people I thought of. And it said, there ain't no party like a D&D party because the D&D party don't stop until the healer is dead and we're out of potions. Yeah.
That's very
true. And it was
well
timed. It is. It is. And we finally, we had a huge break, but we finally met up.
Yeah.
And got to have a D&D hangout.
Yeah. And a really good D&D hangout too. Like there was, it really hit all the categories. Like we had some really confusing trying to figure out what had like happened in the previous session, which is always my favorite because a few of us take notes, but like there's always stuff that Annie has to be like, and then this definitely occurred. That's maybe important for the future.
Right.
You guys.
Like, try not to like spoil it, but like maybe.
You did more than just drink Clamato, I promise.
Yeah.
There's in-game Clamato, if we haven't mentioned that. Anyway,
there is. Surprise to me as much as you. Oh, okay.
But yeah. So we had that, and we had a good battle, everyone got some good hits in, and we got some good role play. Like you got to do a good non player character, Annie.
I did. I'm glad you said that because I'm pretty sure I had this idea in the fourth session.
Wow.
And it was you said.
Oh, my goodness.
You said in passing, like, because this is a very Star Wars-based campaign, like, oh, I hope we don't meet George Lucas. And I was like, well, that's it. And that's your own rule is you never give the DM ideas. And I was like, well, because I had this whole thing. It's complicated, but there's this whole place called Poop Island. And my friend wrote, that's where the DM lives. And so I was trying to figure out what to do with it. I know this makes no sense and I'm not going to explain it. But
I think it's perfect.
I finally was like, oh, well, there we go.
That's where George Lucas lives. Yeah.
Yeah. And so yeah. I was trying to embody him, but my brain was completely fried. So I was like, I feel like that fits with his character.
With his character, though. No, absolutely. Well, okay. So for a tiny bit of backstory about why Annie's brain was fried, y'all over on her other show, Stuff Mom Never Told You, they wrote a book. Like they wrote a whole book. They wrote a book. And it's coming out sometime.
August 29th.
Thank you. And so last week they were recording the audiobook for it. And so after like 3 days of like being like, this is a casual hour of chatting. It's not like what you're doing when you're recording an audiobook or something like that. So like after a few days of very intense studio sessions, she comes to DM for us and...
I was loopy.
but it worked because he was like the version of George Lucas that we met is like sad Luke on an island, George Lucas, who is just he's possibly a god and he's really upset that his creation has kind of run away from him a little bit. And so we had to like talk down George Lucas about how actually you don't need to be upset about that because it belongs to the fans now. I mean us. I mean I mean the people living in the world. I mean what?
It was very persuasive. It was very funny though. And we haven't even finished the conversation because we were going long, so we had to stop it kind of mid
abrupt. Yeah.
But I did in my notes I didn't read it aloud, but I said this is the last Jedi part of the campaign.
Oh yeah. Clearly.
Poop Island is Octo and it's very beautiful. our campaign is strange, y'all. But it's great.
We have a lot of fun. We entertain ourselves, and that's more or less the point as far as I can tell. So
Yes. It was so great. We just have a good group. We have fun. And we like that I can make very ridiculous puns, and you can raise your eyebrow at me, and I'll raise my eyebrow back. And we both have a moment of like, I see what you did. I like it.
Yeah, sometimes she'll say something and I just like turn and look at her like
what? Yeah, the ship is called the Falcon, so what? It's fun. Oh, and also Ethan sent another package of harissa.
Yes. Oh, and it's so good. And it's still not a sponsor. Oh, and it's so delicious. Yeah. Yes. So thank you for giving me my own harissa. I appreciate that. Because we are...
He was concerned. Yeah. I was going to eat it all. but we did. We had it at TNT.
Yeah. And it's great with pizza. So there you go.
Yep. There you go. A whole world of opportunities.
Oh, my goodness.
Very excited.
Yeah. The spicy one is spicy.
It is spicy. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah.
We also had like really spicy chips that I don't normally eat chips, but I really liked these chips.
Yeah.
In theory, we're playing again this week, so we might have another update soon.
Right?
Yes. But that is all we have for listener mail for now. Mm-hmm. As always, thank you for taking the time to write in, mm-hmm. I love how you interact with each other again. So we really appreciate it. We love it. thank you.
Yeah, thank you for encouraging our, sending us new topic ideas, encouraging our nerdiness, all of the stuff.
Yes. And if you would like to write to us, you can. Our email is hello@saverpod.com.
We're also on social media. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Yeah, sure. At Saverpod. And we do hope to hear from you. Saver is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. Thanks, as always, to our super producers, Dylan Fagan and Andrew Howard. Thanks to you for listening, and we hope that lots more good things are coming your way.
This episode is brought to you by Pronamel.
Not all our favorite foods and drinks are BFFs with our teeth. Salad dressings, seltzers, and fruits can be enamel enemies. So if you eat or drink those things regularly, your enamel could be at risk. And once it's gone, it's gone.
Pronamel Intensive Enamel Repair penetrates deep into the enamel surface, locking in vital minerals to repair acid-weakened enamel. And with new Pronamel Repair mouthwash, you can enhance that repair beyond just brushing.
Pronamel is the number one dentist-recommended brand for acid erosion, so buy Pronamel Repair anywhere you buy toothpaste or mouthwash. Visit pronamel.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Discover Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico is home to a thriving culinary scene based on products and traditions from the native Taino, African, and Spanish peoples that have influenced it.
When you go, there are a host of restaurants, bars, breweries, distilleries, farms, and coffee houses to dig into, from five-star experiences to local favorites.
No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.